Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Bench Talk. I am really excited today to bring you part two of an initial conversation, our previous podcast episode, episode 11 with Brittany Jackson. We were talking about what is it costing you to stay? And the main point of that topic or that episode was more around, you know, staying in a job or at a company longer than you know you should, and staying and being miserable and frustrated. What is it doing to you physically, mentally, you know, and really how is that impacting your pocket? You know, what are the things that you're using to escape and spending money on to pacify the fact that you are totally miserable in your current situation? So this is part two of that conversation. And today I have with me Pam Owens. Pam, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
So Pam Owens is here today to talk about the other side, go a little bit deeper, to talk about the other side of what it really cost you and what can you do to make sure that you're not in a position where you feel that you are trapped or stuck and feel like you can't get out or feel like you can't move on from a company. So Pam is here to talk about that more on the financial side of things. So I'm really excited to talk about this. Pam and I have been having offline conversations on this particular topic. I have my own anecdotes on it, and Pam could speak to it as well from her side of things. But let's go ahead and get started. Pam, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Bench Talk. I think this is going to be a really, really good one. They all are, but I'm really excited about this one because we kind of go into the other side of, you know, empowering women, our sisters, on getting their financial, you know, house in order so that they can feel empowered and confident and ready to move if they have to move, you know, and not just for your career, just in your life in general. Right, Pam?
Absolutely. So, having that financial foundation, having that financial foundation definitely, you know, impacts a lot of decisions that, you know, people tend to make. So I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. So just really quickly, because I do this with every guest that I have on, I give a little bit of how I know you, right? And so Pam and I go back a few years. We are both consultants and we worked at the same company, and I met Pam. We were kind of on the same project, not really on the same project, but I think adjacent to each other, right?
Correct.
Right? And so Pam is well-rounded. Pam is a woman who has her stuff together. Pam, I'm very impressed with Pam. So Pam has been in the IT industry for well over 25 years, and she is a senior business analyst, also an adjunct professor, which I didn't know. I recently found out, which is awesome. And what I have to give the story, but Pam is also a registered representative, and she helps to provide financial strategies and solutions to individuals, families, and businesses, right? And so it's so funny. In the past, Pam, I want to say, I don't know, we have been trying to connect maybe in the past year.
Absolutely. Probably a year and a half or so.
Maybe a year and a half trying to sync calendars and get to lunch, just to have lunch in a central location or a common location. But I've been all over the place, you know, getting my business started, contracting, working, and doing all of that. And just recently, in the last month or two, Pam and I connected. We finally had lunch. We finally met for lunch. And we were just talking, and just by chance, it just so happened, I was mentioning, you know, this topic, and I wasn't even mentioning this topic. I think we were just talking about the different things that we do, you know, because we are contractors, and sometimes you are between contracts, and it's like, what are you doing between that? Are you financially set? And we're just kind of having that conversation, and Pam mentioned that she helps people with financial strategies, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And so this is one of the reasons why I tell people, you never know who does what. You have to talk. You have to talk to people. And I am probably the shyest person you could even imagine, but I put myself out there. And because I already, you know, worked with Pam and knew Pam from work, and we gelled at work, you know, so in talking with you, we, you know, revealed certain things about ourselves and what we do in our personal and professional lives. And so this came up. And so it was really amazing because it was like, I need to talk to someone who does this because this will help my listeners and people who follow me get their stuff together. So I invited Pam on to Bench Talk. So Pam, once again, I'm going to shut up for a little bit. Welcome, 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 welcome to Bench Talk, right? So I'm so happy to have you here. This part of the show, we kind of go through, I just kind of gave a little bit of, you know, how we met and how our connection is, but just want to give a little bit because this is a career development network, if you will. You know, we empower women. I help women with their careers and advancing their careers and how they get to where, you know, I talk to people and ask how you got to where you are, right?
Right.
So if you can give a little snippet of, you know, you've had a 25-year career, you know, so if you can summarize that for our listeners, you know, like how did you start and how'd you end up to where you are today? That'd be great.
Okay. And thank you so much, Jackie. I'm so happy to be here. I had listened to your first part with Miss Brittany, and that was an excellent segment. So I was honored, you know, that you asked me to help participate on this second part. My background, you know, I originally had majored in engineering, and then I learned kind of the opposite, I think, of what people learn is sometimes you learn what you don't want to do, and that helps lead you into a new area. And I learned after engineering, I wasn't interested in that aspect. And then I networked with several people at work, and then I wound up getting into the IT industry. So that's how I wound up on that side, and I've enjoyed it ever since. But being in the industry for over 25 years, you know, no matter what company you work for, you go through different experiences. Every culture and environment are different. And, you know, you and Brittany touched upon that a little bit, you know, had touched upon that during your first segment of this topic. And you have to navigate and see where, you know, where you fit best. And then when we talked about that financial aspect that comes into play, because sometimes you also have to look at not just the salary, but, you know, is the environment working for your goals as well? Obviously, you know, the company has goals, but you ultimately have to have your own personal goals as well. And you have to see if it's a good fit for you short term and long term. Then obviously the financial aspect comes into it. I had gotten into adjunct teaching about 11 years ago, and that was just during a downtime in the market when we went through that mortgage housing bust.
Yes.
And that just opened up an opportunity for me to get into academia as well. And, you know, I also learned at that time, you know, Warren Buffett is known for saying this, you have to learn to create multiple streams of income.
Absolutely.
And so that was a, you know, a way to create multiple streams of income. You know, my husband and I, we always put our heads together to, you know, talk about what's the best path for the home and our children and our finances. And so that was another avenue I took, and, you know, it's worked out well ever since. And then I've been a registered representative helping families financially for 19 years. And, you know, I work as an independent consultant in that arena as well. And being in three different industries for over, you know, 10 years for all of them, obviously, it exposes you to a lot, but you see that there's a lot of commonality, a lot of intersectionality. And the finances are the foundation, and it, you know, it ties it all together. Even when you are making personal and business decisions, a lot of it is based on the finances.
Absolutely.
And so that's how I've, you know, gotten to this point. and, you know, just have learned a lot and using all of that to help educate and empower others to help them, you know, with their financial situations.
Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. So you are very well-rounded, and you hit on something that we are definitely going to talk about shortly, about mm-hmm. the multiple streams of income, right? Right. I have a lot to say on that. Mm-hmm. But let's dive in. Let's really dive in and talk about how let's pick up where I left off with Brittany, right? Sure. And so let's pick up from the point of, I'm a woman, I am working in this organization, and I am miserable. I'm miserable. I don't know what to do because, you know, as a woman, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm trapped. You know, I'm pretending that I'm someone in this position. I'm trapped. What do I do? What do I do to try to get myself out of this situation if I feel like, and there's many different scenarios. So if there's this one scenario that I feel like, you know, the overall arching situation is, I feel trapped. I can't just pick up and leave. And there are no other prospects out there for me. And I don't know what to do. This is not the place for me. I've stayed too long, but I'm afraid to leave because I don't know if I financially can afford being without a job for however long it's going to take to find a job, right? So right. That's one scenario. What would you say to that woman? Because I think that's pretty common, right?
I would say it is. And, you know, I don't know the exact statistic, but I'm sure you've heard and seen statistics. It's something, a really high number, like 80 to 90% of most people don't like where they currently work or the type of work that they do. And so that is a definite common problem. And it's not a one size fit all, like right, we were kind of having those conversations offline. It's not a one size fits all solution. But again, like you were alluding to, a big part of it is that financial foundation. And where are you currently? That do you have the ability to, you know, like you said, if it's so toxic that you may have to just immediately quit and regroup? Or do you, you know, do you need to take some downtime, or maybe after work online or a night class, maybe you need to start taking on some new skill to help you transition over time? You know, depending on how bad the situation is, how long can you stick it out until you're able to find something better?
Right.
So, right. What I've learned in general over the years, because I've had various, you know, you're in any industry over 20 years, you're going to come across a lot of experiences. They will not all be perfect and good all the time, right? Like you and Brittany had talked about, so you have to know when to look for the signs. But first, I definitely have learned over time, every situation you go through, good or bad, you learn from it, right? If you are mature enough to see that you need to learn from all situations, good and bad, because everything will not be perfect. Sometimes when things go bad, that's an opportunity and a wake-up call for you to shift and look at something else, right?
Right.
Sometimes we leave a job because we're going to a better environment, or we leave because we're going to a better salary, or we leave if ultimately both, right? That's like the ultimate, if you could leave for a better environment and more money. Sometimes you may even have to make a lateral move where you go to a different environment that you perceive will be better, even if it's a lateral move for the same money, but you know long-term there will be the opportunity to, you know, increase your income at that point. But you have to assess, you know, how much can you currently tolerate? What are the steps you need to take to be able to move on from that situation if it's not working? Sometimes it can be internal that you may be able to just switch to a different team or a different department. So, you know, you may want to look at those avenues first. Is it just, do I need to move to a different team, different management, different department?
Right.
Or is it an overall culture that this, I'm just not in alignment with this company, period, and I just need to go somewhere else. But again, whatever choices, you obviously have to start assessing your personal and personal and professional status and goals, and look at the finances, right, and make sure that you can afford to take that next step, whatever it may be. Again, it's not a one size fits all, right?
So let's pause right there for a little bit, because I want to talk about, I want to dive into specifics on it. Like you said, it is not a one size fits all. We know that, right? But generally speaking, and how do we, because I'm really all about empowering women. That is a word that I have a hard time saying. So listeners, please bear with me. Empowering women, you know, how do we set ourselves up to be in a position where we can get up from that table when it is no longer serving us, right? What do we need to do? Whether I want to say stay, you know, we're going to stay on the professional side, but again, like we spoke previously, it can go professional or personal, you know, take what you need from this, right? So just overall empowering women, but specifically in your career, in your profession, in your professional life, how do we help set women up? How do we, what can we say, or what can you say to help women make sure, you know, what are the things that they can do to make sure that they're not in that position of desperation where they have to stay, or where they feel that they're trapped and they have to stay? What are the things that you can do as a woman to make sure that you are secure enough to, you know, if there's a situation that it is just not good for me, I can leave, you know, or let's say for argument's sake, you don't find something else right away, but you're in such a toxic situation that now it's impacting your health and your well-being that you have to leave, you know? But you need to be okay mentally, you know, spiritually, knowing that I'm okay financially. You know, I'm not going to miss a meal because I'm out of work for a month or 2 months or 3 months, right? So what are some of the things that we can do? What can you share with us? Some of the things that we can do, some strategies that we can do from different aspects, from what you've seen and what you, you know, coach people on as well. What can we do to make sure that we're not in that, in that situation? You know, how can we empower ourselves?
You have to take an inventory, right? So if you, let's say, start with a budget sheet, or you have to look at every aspect of your financial life. And like you said, if it's at a point of like dire straits, start immediately taking inventory of what's coming in and what's going out, and then being honest with yourself of what's coming in and what's going out. A big piece that I feel people struggle with is when we always hear needs versus wants, and you have to be careful you are not convincing yourself that your wants are your needs.
That was me.
And that's a very serious one. If you know, money can, right, money can be emotional, and people can get defensive about it. But if you're in a dire situation where you need to make a change, what are you willing, at least short term, to give up and be honest about? You know, it obviously depends on what level you are currently. You know, if you're already at a higher level, you're driving a luxury car, you buy $500 purses, you have red bottom shoes, but you're not living below your means, you know those things are not needs. And so maybe short term, you need to cut down on all of that, cut it all out. You know, if you already have a closet full of clothes, how many more do you need? Because it becomes like almost financial, where you're saying, okay, am I going into this job just to pay for this material thing?
Right.
What people are a lot of times not taught to do is you must establish an emergency fund, which it means total liquid cash that you could touch today if something came up. And an emergency is not a finite list of items. An emergency is different for different people. Is what has come up that is an emergency that requires cash, you know, within 24 to 48 hours, and I don't have to go touch something I should not be touching, like running up credit cards debt or touching a retirement account to take care of that emergency. It's cash with no penalty that I can get to right now to address whatever this emergency is. But
let me
also
ask you really quickly though, because I know for me, and this is probably in speaking to you, you know, in the past few weeks that we've been talking, I probably already know the answer to this question, but for the listeners, I know for me personally, in the past, I was told and taught, and this could be wrong, which I think it is, your emergency funds should come from your credit cards. Like you should have credit cards as emergency backup. How valid is that?
It's not, because it's dangerous. First of all, credit cards don't have an unlimited cap, right? You know, they base that on your debt to income ratio, your current credit score. You know, a lot of people have horrible, that's a whole nother avenue, right? A lot of people have horrible credit and you're already overpaying for products, insurance, credit cards, loans, home loans, et cetera, car loans. You're already overpaying for products if you have a horrible credit score, right? Because they charge you much higher rates.
Yeah.
The credit card does not have an unlimited cap, right? Let's say you approve for $10,000 and then you keep living on that. But at some point, cash has to pay the balance back down, right?
Right.
So it still comes back to cash. Now, there's a way to, you know, with credit cards, like my husband and I will do this as well. And I understand what you're saying to a degree. Okay, put on a credit card, but we're paying it off at the end of the month and we're just doing it because of the points programs that we have access to. You know, like we traveled last week and we had enough points to cover our car rental. I traveled in July and I had enough points that covered my plane ticket and car rental. But you are paying the card back down like immediately. So it's not for you to be living on and then you're paying all this compounding interest over long periods of time. At the end of the day, you still need cash even to pay that credit card off, right?
Right.
So it's not right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that is the misinformation that a lot of us have been given early on. Like that's Jackie in her 20s. Jackie in her 20s did not, at the end of the month, pay off those credit card bills.
Right. Jackie, and that's where most of us were trapped.
Exactly.
Right.
I understand now. I understand the importance of doing that now. But 20 years ago, I had no clue, because that's what was taught to us, right? And in our communities, sometimes we're not privy, if you will, and we can talk about this a little bit later on when we're talking about how people can get in touch with you and breaking some of the myths that having an advisor, someone to help us strategically, financially, that's out of our reach. And it really isn't, you know, it's what is priority to you. And honestly, I know this word is overused, but it's all about adulting, right? It's all about being an adult. It sucks, but it's what you have to do, because you have to be responsible.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's about being responsible, right? And doing those things. And sometimes I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't want to do this all the time. I don't want to have a budget. I don't want to not go to get my nails done. I don't want to not take that trip. You know, I want to do those things. I work long enough. I work hard enough. I should be able to do those things. So why not just use my credit card and, you know, I'll suck it up another year or so at this job until something else comes, you know, comes up. I don't want to do those things.
And you know, first we're all adults, right? So first we have the, we have free choice, but have you ever seen that statement that you have free choice, but you're not free from the consequences of your choices. And so that's what it boils down to. And you could tell yourself that, but if you're staying in a constant struggle of debt and never able to get ahead and always struggling, well, I mean, if you're creating that environment, you can't really, you know, blame anyone else, right?
Exactly.
Have you ever heard the definition of insanity? When you keep doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so if you're not willing to mature and change your behavior, you know, ultimately no one can force you. And so that's totally up to you. And then, you know, we talked about what scapegoating mean, right? And scapegoating where you project outward, it's everyone else's and everything else's fault, except yours, your own, and maybe reflecting within to see what do I need to do to change the situation so I can change my outcome.
Right.
And so if you're clearly not happy, then there's something that you need to look at that needs to change.
So let's get back to that. You know, I take things many different places, but I'm so excited about this topic in particular because, you know, let's get back to how can you position yourself so that you're not in a desperate situation? Right. And, you know, and I think I said this to you at lunch or it was at some point in time, you have to start where you are, you know? So how do you start where you are? And I think you just said, take an inventory, right?
Absolutely. Take an assessment.
So
because you first have to look at where you, sure, you have to look at where you currently are and then see what do I need to do to get me to that next step, right? If you're at point A, you want to get to point B. It's just like if we're using a map and we get in the car, how do you get to point B? So you have to start where you are. Obviously, everyone is at different levels.
Right.
But one of the key things, again, are you need to, you know, start trying to put emergency money away, stashing cash away, you know, focusing on trying to get debts paid down where, you know, at a reasonable amount. Obviously, no one is, you know, going to pay their house off overnight. Not big ticket items like that, right? But you can start to do many things in parallel. But the foundation truly is having some emergency cash on hand, because when you are in these situations and it's dire, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, people get fired as well, right? So or it's different if you're staying on the job for a long period of time, you don't like it, but at least you're still getting paid versus something may come up and you get laid off or fired.
Right.
Or you're, you know, like we said, we're in these consulting roles and contracts can end unexpectedly. And so that's when you really need to, you know, learn what emergency funds mean. Because what do you have to fall back on in these in-between periods? And so you assess, I mean, it can be so fundamental where you take that inventory. Okay, let's start today, the next 30 days, track what are you doing every day? What are you putting in your mouth, right? When you go out, where are you stopping? And, you know, when we say putting in your mouth, like, are you buying like a drink or a soda, every day? Are you eating out every day? Can you cut back in those areas? You know, if you go to a restaurant, you know, my husband and I, with the kids, we go out, you go to a restaurant, a family of four, just ordering a drink, they charge on average $3 for a drink, right? Even if it's unlimited refills.
Right.
So now four people, you're already spending $12 just for drinks and you haven't even ordered any food, right? So all those type of things. When the kids were small, we would go to Disney, you know, thankfully they let you bring food and we'd go in there, they want like $3 for chocolate milk. We're like, no, you know, we're bringing our own snacks in. All those little things add up faster than people would realize, right?
Because
just say $3 a day, and what's 3 times 20, right? You could be spending, say, an average work month. We work 5 days a week, 4 weeks in the month, right? So that's 20 days. Three times 20, you're spending 60 a month just on drinks.
Right.
You could start putting 50 a month away towards an emergency fund.
Right.
And so, and that's just one item. Now, if you go and take full inventory of everything that comes in and goes out, you would be surprised how much. Sometimes we're on these monthly subscriptions that we don't even use anymore.
Right.
Start looking at your bank statements. Sometimes people forget what's even being drafted, auto drafted from their bank account.
Yes.
You might go and say, oh my God, I'm on these three subscriptions. I don't even use this anymore. You might free up another $100.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
You call the phone company and, you know, talk about the competition and, well, you know, my friend's paying less, or, you know, you might be able to negotiate, talk your bills down.
Right.
So collectively, all of that can add up to a lot, but you have to take the time, you have to take the inventory, and you have to start where you are. But a lot of times people can free up a lot more money than they realize. You know, so.
And I think it's just like, it's going to sound odd, but it's almost like goal setting. Once you right. write it down, it, mm-hmm. it becomes real, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I used to be budget averse, right? I don't like the word because right. to me, I equate budget with constraints.
Right.
Jackie does not like to be constrained. Mm-hmm. Right. Jackie loves the lifestyle that Jackie has, right? Or Jackie, right. what she wants, if right. anything, right? And so I don't like that word budget. And I know there are a lot of people out there who are thinking, I don't like the word budget. I don't mm-hmm. like what that means. I don't like the connotation of budget. But honestly, once you start writing down or typing it up, what you really, or better yet, looking in black and white mm-hmm. on your bank statement, what you're spending your money on, you know, how many dollar 35s or 6.45s right. and, you know, 11.20s. And mm-hmm. if you add all of those things up, those are not bills. Those right. are things, oh, let me stop at this place for breakfast on the way to work because exactly. I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. Or let me, you know, on the way home, stop at McDonald's for the kids and whatever the case may be. Now, exactly. granted, there are times where you just don't want to cook. You cannot. You're just exhausted. Right. Mm-hmm. I get it. Totally get it. Been there, have done that. Right. But when you really take into account what your bank statement here. I've had bank statements, pages.
I was about to say pages long. Yeah, pages long.
Pages mm-hmm. long. And I'm like, is this for a year?
Right. No. And you're like, and it's a month. And you're like, it's what am month. I doing?
I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
This
right.
makes no sense. Why mm-hmm. does it take me so long to reconcile my bank account? Mm-hmm. Because I'm taking out that card so quickly and I'm spending. And when I realized how much money I had been spending right. on, not shoes and things like that, just if I just only look at eating out, mm-hmm. not now. Right. This was a period in time where I was right. like, whatever, you know, right. I don't care. I'm making the money. That was my mindset.
Right.
You know, like, I'm making the money, it doesn't matter. And I was getting my bank account, my bank statements, and, you know, even when they were just electronic, I'm scrolling, like, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
This makes no sense. Like,
right.
and these were not big ticket items. Like I said, the $1.25, the $6, it adds up. And when it I does. Tell you, no joke, all full transparency here.
Right.
It was over $1,000
for little things.
Mm-hmm. That is, first of all, that's crazy. I don't care how much money you make.
Right.
If you're spending $1,000 in, just imagine, Pam, things that are not over $100.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I've gone through it too. And so don't beat yourself up. And, right. you know, just because, you know, I'm in the finances as well. Right. I'm not perfect. But like you said, when it's on paper and in your face, it makes
then
it come
you have
to reality.
To face it.
Right.
You have
and
to
so,
face it.
Definitely. And I've gone through that too. But I think sometimes too, when you have those experiences, then it helps you to better.
It wakes you
recommend,
up.
Right. It helps you to better recommend and help others because you can say, you know, I've been there. I understand.
Absolutely.
And there is a way out. And so don't feel that it's trapped and it, you know, will always be this way. I think also just from tradition, sometimes people get into these negative ruts that, oh, well, you know, well, I'll always have debt. I'll always yeah. struggle. I'll always, yeah. so I might as well just do what I want. And that's mm-hmm. a very dangerous mindset to adopt because you would be amazed. You can turn your entire life around within 3 to 5 years if you're willing
yes.
to sit down, assess, go through the inventory and start to slowly change your ways.
Do the
and
work.
Do the work.
Right. And you
admit,
can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
if you're not willing to make these changes,
exactly,
do not complain.
Exactly.
If you're not willing to make these changes, this is not for you, because mm-hmm. you have to get real with yourself.
Right.
Nobody else. You mm-hmm. have to get real with yourself. So the next time you call your girlfriend to complain about your boss, about, you know, this or that, and I don't have the money to leave, and I don't have the money to this, think about what you're really doing. Now, mm-hmm. granted, there are some people, maybe a lot of people, that really, truly don't have it mm-hmm. because they're not making, you know, they're not making the money. But there are ways that you can position yourself, right? There are
and
ways
that's
that
you also,
can prepare.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads back to the comment where we said that's where you may also have to say, okay, I may have to start looking at all other streams of income.
Talk about that a little bit.
To help, right?
Talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Because most, you know, in most roles or positions or titles, you know, you have a position at work. Yes, there's a salary range, but you're usually controlled within the salary range of that specific title, right? So you could either right. look to try to see if you can be promoted. Sometimes that's not something you can control short term, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like we say, you may have to leave and go to another company to try to, you know, command more income, et cetera.
Right.
Sometimes it winds up being lateral, but you may also have to look at additional streams of income. You know, mm-hmm. there are other ways that you can earn income, whether, you know, after work, online, independently, whatever, you know, such as I, you know, I'm a registered representative as well as I'm an adjunct professor. So those are the additional, you know, streams of income that I right. choose to take on. And I think what I found too is that it also helps me. Sometimes you have to be careful on a job and not make that one job your entire life.
Yes.
Like some people go to a job yes. and they try to make everyone their best friend, and they try to make it their family, and they try to make it their all. But what happens is it creates unrealistic expectations. So then when the job or someone on the job lets you down and you're like devastated, but if you have no other outlets that help kind of break up your attention span so mm-hmm. that you're not totally putting all of your life into that job.
Yes.
I've also found that obviously not just for the extra money, but the other sources of incomes and outside exposure and, you know, just a nice refreshing change to something different in a different industry has helped me to, you know, just deal and cope a lot of times when there are things going on at the one job, and I don't take it personally or take it so seriously because I'm right. like, okay, well, I have other things that I can do, and I'm not going to let this one place totally consume right. my whole life and my whole thought process. So sometimes having other things to do outside of the job is also healthy, mm-hmm. You know, to keep you from getting sucked in.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that I come in contact with that are, you know, work is their life, and they don't realize it. I realize mm-hmm. it just right. in conversation with them or in coaching with them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it's not.
Right.
You can love your career. Mm-hmm. That there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
But when you hit the, first of all, Pam, you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, unrealistic expectations.
Right.
You know, when you make it your life and then you have these unrealistic expectations and you want everyone to be your friend and you want everyone to like you and this is your family, you know, there's nothing wrong with that to an extent, but you have to be clear on what your position is.
Right.
Yes, you can love your career. Mm-hmm. No one is saying that you shouldn't, you know.
Right.
Yes, you can build meaningful relationships with people mm-hmm. at work. Absolutely, you should. You should be right. able to, right?
Right, right.
But don't put those expectations on this job.
Or others,
so mm-hmm. that when something happens, you are devastating.
Exactly, right.
You know?
And you can't force it. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, you know, we're all ultimately there to produce and in exchange expecting a income, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, we're there to provide service for the company, and in exchange, we're expecting them to pay us. Because I say all the time, you know, let's be real. I always ask people all the time, you know, you're so engaged, but let me ask you honestly, if you want at least $5 or $10 million in the model, right? Would you return here? Like, would you really return to this job? Let's be honest. You get one or two people who say, yes, I would. And I'm like, okay, that's great for you. Most people would not.
Most people would not, you know? It's really interesting. One of the things I want to point out, because I think sometimes people feel like when you say or suggest getting something else or in addition to help mm-hmm. build that foundation, to help build your savings, you know, they think that it's long-term and forever. It doesn't have to be, you know, these could be short-term things that you do just to get to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, to build to where you want to be, and then think about what long term you can do to sustain that. Right, Pam? Right.
Absolutely. Even in my case where, again, I've been an adjunct professor for 11 years and a registered representative for 19. And then you might say, well, you know, OK, well, why are you still doing that? Because I actually enjoy those areas as well with the teaching and the you know, being helping families or businesses with financial strategies. It's also a way to enable me to help others and help empower others. And so I also am still in those areas because it's a way for me to help others, and I really enjoy it. And so, and then also getting paid for it, well, it's a win-win. Why not?
It's right. You know, you'll find.
And that ties to back where I was saying that also helps you have other outlets. It's not always totally financial. A lot of times people don't realize they need other outlets. So it's been rewarding financially to have the multiple streams of income, but it's also been great exposing me to other areas of life. There's so much more out there, you know, than allowing yourself to be pigeonholed and then allowing me to help others.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's an aspect of it that I want to touch on too, because you'll have people who, and I say people because I know people like this and I've coached people like this who are like, no, I didn't. First of all, I don't give financial advice, but when I hear the situations at work and they're having financial situations, I will offer, have you thought about looking for an additional stream of income? Or an additional short-term job? I've had people say to me, what would that look like if I had two jobs? You know, it's this pride
the stigma,
thing.
The stigma. Right.
You know, I already have a good job. What is that going to look like? Well, first of all, let's bring it down a couple of notches, because if you had such a good job, you wouldn't have to be in a position where, well, first of all, if you had such a good job, that you would have to consider it, right? So obviously your compensation is not where it needs to be.
Right.
So you now have to look at other options. Now, if you love what you do and they're not paying you and you're making that trade-off because you want certain experiences and or experience, then that's a different thing. You know, that's something totally different. But if you have this air about you that, you know, what is it going to look like if I, you know, get another job? Does it matter? Does it matter what other people think? Does it matter what other people say? If you know you're looking at your bank account and you're struggling and you're looking at your future, you feel stuck, it does not matter what anyone thinks. It matters only what you think and how you need to shift and change your mindset to get to a position or get to a place where you are secure. You know, you have to do things. And I'm going to put this out there, and I hope, and I don't think he's going to hate that I say this, but it's my story as well, right? Mm-hmm. I had my son young. Mm-hmm. I was 21 and I was still in school. My husband at the time, boyfriend at the time, now, well, ex-husband, whatever, my son's father. we were both in school and he graduated before I did. Mm-hmm. He could not find a job in his degree. Mm-hmm. degreed person, okay? Degreed, bachelor's degree, could not get a job in his degree, but we had this baby to feed. Mm-hmm. He had no qualms about getting something temporarily, right? Granted, we have family and, you know, things like that, family to help us. But, you know, as a family unit, our immediate family, and as a man, you know, they are caretakers, you know, they're providers. And he did not let not having a job in his degree stop him, right? This man took a job at a retail store. And that was, and we knew it was temporary, but it was a thing that we decided at this time in our lives, this is something that is needed until, right? Luckily, he was able to get, you know, a position within his degree. But the funny thing is, because I'm saying this because it kind of goes back to what you're saying and what I have been saying with temporary, he kept the retail position until we could build up savings. So that we were okay. You get what I'm saying? So he had two jobs. He had his profession. And he, every weekend, he was working at the retail store.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's there was nothing wrong with it. Because so what we knew was that we were building a savings so that we had something to be okay, you know? And I don't know if that is well received now. You know, I see people like, oh, you know, I have a master's degree. I'm not going to go work at, you know, wherever or do whatever. It's like, if you need to do it, you need to do what you need to do.
It's, you know? It's that it's a, begins with a P and it's called pride, right?
Yes.
And pride can bank. Pride will bankrupt you. So you're worried about people seeing you have two jobs. Well, how bad will you feel if they see you getting being evicted or foreclosed on because you went so far without taking action and worried about your pride that now you're like destitute? So I think that's more embarrassing. And nowadays, people are too busy themselves. Like, don't worry about, a lot of times you're worrying about someone, they're doing just, they may be struggling just as much as you or worse. So you're, you know, so worried about what someone else is thinking.
People are not even thinking about you.
Right, that's what I'm going to say also. They're not even thinking about
you
because they have their own agenda and issues. Or they may be in the same type of situation as you.
But nobody is talking about it.
Exactly. Do what you need to do for your family. Because of the pride and the embarrassment, like you said.
Nobody is talking about it. And that's a whole other topic about we don't talk about money. We don't talk about salary. When we need to be having these conversations, right? We don't talk about, sis, are you good? Right? We see, here's, I'm going to take it there now. So we go, and I'm not me as in, you know, we as in me, but we generally speaking, we'll do our brunch on Sunday. We'll do our brunch on Saturday. We'll do our girls trip and out this and out that. And we'll pop champagne bottles and we'll do this and that. Want to live this Instagram life. Have you turned to your girlfriend and asked her, are you okay? You know, are you okay? Can we really do this?
Right.
No one wants to have that conversation because everybody's embarrassed. Everybody's embarrassed to say, or people are embarrassed to say, well, no, I can't, you know, if you go out, you know, and everyone wants to chip in for whatever it is, people will be embarrassed to say, no, I can't. They'll just do and throw it on that 20-year-old Jackie, put it on the credit card. You know, I'm gonna live this life. I'm gonna do what I want to do, but we don't have those conversations with our sisters and to make sure, you know, are you okay? Let's talk. What can I do? Who can I introduce you to? Do you need to speak to a financial advisor or a strategist and get your money right? Do you have insurance? Right?
That's what I was about to say as well, that it's easy to have fun. It's easy to party and take pictures, but we have to be willing to have the hard conversations because GoFundMe is not your financial solution for your family.
Let me tell you.
GoFundMe is not your answer when you are dressed to the hilt, you're driving a luxury car, you have a designer bag and red bottom shoes, and then you don't want to talk about insurance. That is selfish. Because
exactly.
Obviously the money is not for you. It is for your family. Mm-hmm. If they lost you tomorrow, which equates to losing your salary, are they going to be evicted or foreclosed on? Is the repo man coming to get the house?
Exactly.
Are they going to have to abruptly move into someone else's house who was not prepared to take your children in? Even if you're, my parents will take care of them. Well, do your parents have the money to take care of your kids?
Right, and nobody's having, we're not even having those conversations.
And then now people are scrambling, trying to make chicken dinners to pay for the funeral, and GoFundMe is not the answer. What happens in those crises, people don't even have time to grieve.
Right.
Because they're scrambling for the finances.
And
that's dangerous.
I'm gonna go back to that whole fact that, you know, you cannot complain. Mm-hmm. You should not be complaining about anything, about not having this or that, if you are not being responsible, if you're not being financially responsible, mm-hmm. right? Now, granted, we all make our mistakes. My hand is raised because I can tell you some stories of things that I have done in the past that now as what I consider a real adult, know right. that those were really bad financial decisions.
Right.
I'm not complaining because mm-hmm. I know what I am doing. I know what I can do to do mm-hmm. more, obviously.
Right.
I know where I am, right?
Right?
And so when I hear people complain and, you know, oh, I'm stuck. That tells me a couple of things. One, you're not financially where you need to be,
right?
Right. If mm-hmm. you're so stuck,
right?
If you're so stuck, you're not financially where you need to be. But on the same token, you're posting pictures of you doing X, Y, and Z and living it up,
right?
But you're stuck. So I'm gonna stop getting down on those people because they know what they need to do, right? You know what you need to do, and it's about, like you said, it's about pride, and people mm-hmm. don't want to do what they should, and I'm going to say should, do right. responsibly, even if you don't have children, for yourself, you right. know?
You can just gently, you know, like you said, you keep hearing them complain. Well, you know, let's say you get on the phone with your girlfriend every week mm-hmm. and she comes with the complaint again, and you mm-hmm. can just gently say, well, let me ask you, you know, what did you do in the last 24 hours, or what did you do in the last week? Or the last month to try? What steps did you take to try to change the situation? And so if you just gently keep putting that back on them,
right.
then either they're going to feel embarrassed and start making some steps, or they will stop bringing it up because then they know, oh, you're going to ask me, what am I doing to change the situation?
Right.
So you may not even be able to change them, but if it gets them to stop complaining to you because they're not changing
I think we should start holding each other accountable.
Right.
Really? I really mm-hmm. do. I really do. And, you know, especially when it comes to, again, women and empowering each other, what are you doing? Are you secure enough? Do you have what you need, you know, so that let's even, because I know they say a year's salary, sometimes that feels out of reach to people. Do you have a month? Can you even just build to a month's salary?
Right.
Can you then build to a 2 months? And that, you know, just small steps to get you to start having a foundation where you can, you know, breathe a little bit better.
Absolutely. Right? And those are common tips that you see. You can, you know, Google and search anywhere, and mm-hmm. those common financial mm-hmm. tips will tell you, start working towards building 3 to 6 months worth of your income. And that's just for emergency funds. Because mm-hmm. again, like you said, if you're in between jobs, look at what happened, you know, the beginning of the year when they had the furlough and the government shut down in the DC area.
Yeah.
And some of those people were already in dire straits
anyway.
Let's say 15 days into it.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. Most billing cycles are like 30-day cycles.
Yes.
But some were already strained 15 days into it. And so these are examples of sometimes things happen completely out of your control, and you still have to know how to be able to survive and get through those periods.
Right.
Right. And so if you have no cash, this is an example of what happens. If you just depend on the credit cards, you might already be close to your limit. So, you know, let's say you only have $1,000 left on the credit card, and then this happens. Now you're in between work, you're not getting paid for 1 or 2 months. You don't even have, you may not even have enough balance left on your credit card to put it on there, because again, that concept of where we were taught, put things on your credit card, it does not have an open-ended, unlimited balance.
Right.
They have a cutoff point and you still have to pay them back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked about a lot, and I know it sounded like I was beating up on people, kind of, yeah, a little bit, but let me reel it back. Let me reel it back, Pam, because sometimes that could be really hard on women in that way. And I know that. And, I'm working on it. I'm still a work in progress, honey.
But it's a mind. It's a mindset. Like, it's a mindset, you know, it's a mindset that you have to work on. That paradigm shift. You truly have to work on your mindset, which impacts your habits and outcomes.
Absolutely. You know, we really need to be in a position. Women, you really need to be in a position, whether you have a partner or not, you really should be in a position where you are starting to build for yourself. And I'm gonna say this. So everyone knows, if you follow me, you know, my background is in IT, and, 5, 6 years ago, I started my own business, and I was contracting and consulting. And so what that means is I work on a contract in a specific amount of time. So let's say it's a 6-month contract. I have a job for 6 months. You know, if it's a 1-year contract, I have a job for one year. Typically, you start looking for another contract if your current contract is not going to get extended, or if you don't even know, you start looking for another contract maybe 3 months out. Before your 3 to 4 months before your contract ends, you know, start putting feelers and talking to people or what have you. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. In my growth, I learned, I had to learn to put money aside for those times when there is not an immediate contract, you're rolling into something immediate. And when I say immediate for me is within 3 months, right?
Right.
Immediate for some people is the next day or within a couple of weeks, right?
Right.
But you want to make sure, for contractors and new contractors out there, you want to make sure that you have at least 3 months to live off of comfortably. Your bills are paid and you can eat until that new contract. And when you get the new contract, you still have to wait to get paid, right?
Right.
And I learned that early on because I was so new to the whole contracting world and what that means and what that meant. You know, the money is great and oh my God, I'm getting paid. And it's like, okay, so when that contract ends, what you gonna do, girl?
Right.
What are you gonna do, right? And so I had to learn. We all learn. I didn't know about all of that. I mean, I knew certain things, but I didn't know until it hit me, right? And then also, too, you have to be prepared for when they say, oh, well, we are going to stop the project. What are you going to do? So you have to always be prepared. So as a contractor, we're a special group. We always have to be prepared in the event, right? Because you never know. So if you are a full-time employee, right? So Pam, if you want to talk to that, for someone who's an employee, how should you prepare yourself for just even the unknown, or just like we said in the very beginning, to get up from the table that is no longer serving you? Let's kind of roll back to that specifics, maybe two to three points of what can people do to prepare themselves or to just start laying that foundation for themselves.
Okay, sure. I think the habit still needs to be established, whether you're an employee or a consultant or contractor.
Okay.
And I'm glad you helped explain the difference, because, you know, I've been on contract assignments as well where the entire project was canceled, but then they also let some full-time employees go as well. So you also have to be careful and not assume that just because you're a full-time employee that you will always just be protected for life. So you can't become complacent. And I think the strategies apply whether you're full-time person or a contract. You know, a lot of times you may be full-time, but you get paid much less than the contractor, right? Right. So you, there are all these different type of variables. I still feel you have to develop these strong habits. You have to learn to be disciplined and keep different buckets of money and learn to put money away short term and long term, mm-hmm. whether you are a permanent employee or not. You have to get in the habit of learning to put money away and act like it does not exist. Okay. Not
That's
just
hard.
For, right. Not just for,
Even
oh,
for
I'm
me
going
today.
To, remember
Cam,
we
that's hard.
I know.
That is hard.
But, okay. you know, they say on average, it takes about 21 to 28 days to develop a habit. Now, a habit is not defined good or bad. It's mm-hmm. a habit. So are you developing a good habit or are you developing a bad habit?
Right.
On average, it takes 21 to 28 days to develop either way. Right. And so you have to, but here's what happens. You start where you are. If you slowly start building after a while, when you're able to multitask and actually be able to take a vacation and, buy that Christmas gift and still have emergency money. Mm-hmm. When you start building and you're keeping these separate buckets of money and you're able to live on cash and still keep emergency money socked away, you start to learn to, you know, ignore and act like it doesn't exist. It does not obviously happen overnight, but again, I'm going to keep saying, as you said, start where you are. If you keep making the excuses, you will never start. So then it will always seem like it's impossible. So have to, you know, just a personal experience, you know, I had shared with you, we went out to visit my son and then we were supposed to return the day that the hurricane was hitting the area. So then they canceled our flight and we couldn't find another flight until the end of the week. So, you know, what would happen to most people? You didn't plan for that financially. We were already there 5 days and then we had to stay another 5 days. So we had to obviously pay for that. Right. We had to pay for extra hotel stay. We had to pay for the extra car rental days and pay for the food. But, you know, so we came back and we dealt with it, but we're not bankrupt. Right. And so that's an example of an emergency. Like when I was also saying that an emergency is not a finite list. It can be anything. Mm-hmm. At that moment, that was the emergency because we were not allowed to return home. And because the storm wound up, you know, diverting, there was no one to give us money back. You know, we couldn't ask FEMA to give us money because the storm didn't even hit the area. So, you know, the only option we had was the airline would reimburse our plane ticket, but that wasn't helping us because if we went and tried to get any other plane ticket at that last minute, how much more would the plane ticket have been?
We had to make the most of the situation
and we had to just pay through it until we were able to come back home. Those are things that you want to be able to address without it totally bankrupting you. And, you know,
you want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to get to that point.
Exactly.
And I do want to add in here that, you know, some people would probably say that it's easier when you have a partner. It's easier when it's a dual income household. Yes and no, just kind of depends on where you are, you know, with compensation or your salary. But this is where I come in as a coach because the type of coaching that I do and the type of work that I help people with is I'm looking to help you get the most that you can get.
Exactly.
Right. So if you're down at the lower end of the range for your position, my job is to help you get to the higher range.
Right.
So that you can achieve those financial goals that you are. So I'm talking about you getting to the higher range so that this is not so out of reach for you. Right. So if you're in a position or you're in a company, you're in a job where you're not making that much money and you are a high achiever and you, regardless if you have a degree or not, that you could be and should be negotiating higher salaries because of the work that you do. You should be doing that, right?
Right.
So part of it, and I think it kind of all goes together. part of it is ensuring that you are where you need to be. Because if you're frustrated in your job, 9 times out of 10 is because of your salary. Right. You're not happy with your salary. So right. let's work on that, right? So mm-hmm. starting where you are, and I have to interject on that, but starting where you are, if you're not making the money, let's get you to making that money. So whether that's typically it's not within the same company, I have to right. put it out there. Typically, right. You can jump. Mm-hmm. You can jump $20,000-$30,000 just by moving to another company. And I've done it several times.
And I've done the same as well.
In order to make more money, you mm-hmm. go somewhere else. And right. there is a whole key to doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, like you said, people get complacent. I'm not going to get complacent with salary because that's I have right. financial goals that I exactly. want to achieve. So I'm not going to stay in one place. So yes, I think for, you know, part of the process in looking at where you are, what are you making? Because if, right. if you honestly look and say, oh my goodness, I cannot pull any money out, then there's a problem. What are you making? And mm-hmm. be honest with yourself. Should you be making more? Are you at right. a level in your career where you should be making more? If the answer is yes, then you need to be making more. Let's get you to where you need to be. And mm-hmm. then now let's address putting money in buckets to start saving and to put you in a position where you don't have to stay somewhere because it's not.
Here's a challenge, Jackie. Yeah. Like you said, you know, first you have to be careful that you're not comparing apples to oranges, right? Because someone may be making 40.
Yes.
And the other person's making 150.
Right.
That's a huge difference.
Right.
Just that difference alone is another person's salary, right?
Absolutely.
And, but let's say where you currently are, I like the examples you use. Let's say that salary range, you're currently on the lower end. You're trying to get to the higher end. Now, let's say you are able to survive on what you're getting paid right now. You just know you're not being paid fairly, right? Because there's that difference also. You may be surviving on what you make, but you should still be getting paid more based on your ability and, industry. So here's one challenge. You're able to go and negotiate. And, you know, if you have to leave the company, go to another company. Let's say you go to another company and you do command $30,000 more, but mm-hmm. you were already able to survive on the income you were making before. Take that extra increase and start socking that away. Don't start spending it. If you were already living don't increase your expenses.
Take the salary increase, and that's your jump start.
Mm-hmm.
Let me
so
tell
if you,
you
right any
I
increase
have to, I have
towards,
to
and that's your jump start.
Yeah. Absolutely, because people will think, oh, I got $20,000-$30,000 more. Let me go get that car.
Right.
Guess what? You didn't need it last week.
Right. My car is 7 years old and I paid it off.
Uh-huh.
I paid it off 4 years ago. I paid my car off 4 years ago, and 7 years mm-hmm. old, and it still looks good and mm-hmm. I just pay for general maintenance and mm-hmm. there's no reason for me to change it right now.
Right.
It's not a hoopty.
Right,
I bought it loaded yeah. on purpose so that I wouldn't get sick of it.
Right.
But I've been done for 4 years. So that makes a big difference. That money I'm paying for the car payment will sock that away. You don't have to spend every penny you have, and that's where people go wrong.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, you get this increase in salary, or you get a promotion, or whatever the case may be, and you think, oh, now I have the money to go and now you have the money to go and start building your foundation, right? Putting money away, and it doesn't have to be. I may challenge you a little bit on this, Pam, but it doesn't have to be forever. Like, you don't have to take, right. let's say you make an additional $30,000.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you take that $30,000 and, obviously it's not one lump sum, but it doesn't have to be that you're taking that full amount and socking that away. You right. should take a good portion of it, I would say at least 90%, you know, and put that towards where you want to be financially. There are, you know, everyone's situation is different. Everybody's situation is different. There are some things where, oh, I couldn't do this before, but now I need to do it for whatever reason. Then, yeah, you can do that. But you just want to make sure that you're putting money away. You have insurance. You have to start building your savings so that you're not, please forgive me for saying this, ass out. Right. You know exactly. What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You want to make sure of that. Do not, the worst thing that you can do when you get a new position and you get more money is to think now I can increase my lifestyle.
Right.
You know, no one is saying to live like a pauper. No.
Right.
But once you get your house in order, then you can maybe slowly but surely get the things that you may have wanted, but it's not impacting your savings. You know, as long as you're being responsible and an adult and making good choices, then there's nothing wrong with that. But no one is saying that you have to live life like a pauper. No one is saying
for the rest of your life. Correct.
For the rest of your life, right? You know, there are short-term things that you may have to do, and then look at the long-term and you know, position yourself that way. But I think it's really a mindset shift, because people will think, oh, I'm making more, I should be spending more, I should be, you know, let me go get this car to look like this, or I'm going to go now and get this handbag and look like that. And no, it doesn't make any sense, you know? So it doesn't make any sense. Invest in things that make sense for you and your family, and be, you know, and be responsible with it.
Right. I mean, and we want to have a life while we're trying to plan for the future.
Absolutely.
Like you said, we don't want to feel we have to stay locked in the house and never do anything or buy anything. We don't mean that at all. But if you're in a temporary strain situation, you need to be willing to make short-term sacrifices to get out of that, and then, you know, get to some sense of normalcy again, and then be able to multitask and have separate buckets of money so that you can live, but also have something to fall on if you fall into an emergency situation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And the whole thing about making more and spending more, I just really am a proponent of investing it where it needs to go.
Right.
You know, just investing it, whether that's in savings or stocks, whatever you choose, in your children's education, whatever, in your education, that's an investment, you know, invest. So Pam, this was an awesome conversation. I really had fun having this conversation with you.
Oh, I did too. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
I think this was very eye-opening, and I think this can start conversations, right? And I think as women, we should start holding each other accountable and start having conversations and checking in on your sister and asking her if she really is okay. You know, people don't want to talk about money for some reason, but we should be talking about it. We should be talking about it in the context of, are you okay? Is your family okay? You know, you're complaining about certain things. What are you doing? Like you said, what are you doing to change that? You know, don't keep coming to me with the same thing, and you're, you know, living an Instagram lifestyle, right? A pretend lifestyle, and you're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every night. It doesn't make any sense.
You're not trying to change. And, you know, there you have to pay attention to current events, because an outcome of a lot of what this leads to is, are you seeing all these recent stories on the level of homelessness raising, which is becoming dangerous? And a lot of these homeless people are not, they're not drug addicts or mentally challenged. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are winding up homeless because of financial challenges. And so I challenge people, it's part of you don't set that foundation, the emergency funds, et cetera. Now, sometimes I know it can be an extreme crisis, sometimes medical bills, et cetera. But if you don't start that foundation and then you find yourself, you know, in between work, like we talked about, or some, you know, crisis comes up unexpectedly, these are the type of symptoms that build up and lead to homelessness. And so, as an example, you know,
right,
so, you know, you have to swallow that pride and be willing to have these conversations to see if there are people there that can help you, you know, with advice or maybe steps that you can take to secure your finances, so that you don't wind up with these type of extreme examples.
Right, right. Absolutely. So Pam, you had mentioned to me offline that there were some books that you would like to recommend to our listeners. What are they?
Yes, thanks, Jackie. So one book by Seth Godin, it's called The Dip, again by Seth Godin. And it's a great little book that teaches you how to determine when you need to quit. And that does not mean you're giving up on your ultimate goals, but maybe the current path you're taking is not the most effective and you need to learn to redirect and quit what you're doing and kind of reset and try something else. Another book I found very helpful was The Millionaire Next Door, and it's by two Ivy League professors, Thomas Stanley and William Danko, and they did a 20-year study of who truly wealthy people are, and they're not always what you expect. You know, it's not always all about the bling and the flash and the high-end cars. Sometimes it's the person next door driving the 10-year-old truck and wearing blue jeans, and they're the multimillionaire. So I thought that was a great perspective. The third book I found interesting over the years is called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, where he talks about, again, it's part of that perception, even when mentioning The Millionaire Next Door, of who the true wealthy people are. And his father had a professional position and title, but his neighbor's father was building a business, and he learned the difference of having a job versus having a business and having distribution. And over the years, his parents didn't become wealthy, but the next door neighbor's father became wealthy from building a business and being an entrepreneur. So it was an eye opener. And I think those are very helpful in understanding your financial path.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to get those books. The first one was Dip, or The Dip?
The Dip by Seth Godin.
Yes, I heard of that one. And the last one by Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I've heard of that one as well. So
Robert Kiyosaki.
Absolutely.
And then The Millionaire Next Door.
The Millionaire Next Door. I'm going to get all three of those. I'm going to start with Seth's book. So what I will do for those listeners, I will put that in the show notes, so you will have the title of the books and the authors. Pam, thank you so much. Before we go, I definitely want to give you an opportunity to let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Sure, and I appreciate it again for the opportunity to talk with you today, Jackie. You know, if you'd like to talk one-on-one with me, my number is 561-703-3345. Or you can reach me by my email, which is Owens Pam R. So it's my last name, my first name, and the letter R. Owens Pam R at Outlook.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at Pam Owens 2968. And so, you know, I'd love to chat if you had questions. And like we said, it's girl talk, or, you know, open to anyone who may have questions and could share stories and anywhere I could help with advice, I'd be more than happy to.
Absolutely. And so what I'll do in the show notes in the description, I will put all of Pam's contact information out there so you guys can call, email, DM her, proper DMs on Instagram. Yeah, and so get in touch with Pam. Pam is awesome. Pam is really awesome. Pam, thank you again. I really enjoyed this conversation. I look forward to our next conversation, which is more of a masterclass for those who follow us with our private group membership. Pam will be doing November? It's November, right? No?
Yes,
November. We will be doing a masterclass, one of our lunch and learns, to talk about finances. So more to come on that. But I wanted to bring Pam on, like I said at the very beginning, to talk about the other end of, or the financial aspect of positioning yourself so that you can get up from that table, the proverbial table that is no longer serving you, and to get out of positions where you feel stuck. You really need to start building your financial house, if you will, and putting that in order. That helps to empower you. It helps to build your confidence, and it helps to position you so that you are a little bit more independent and you can live a little bit more freer and not as tied down as you may think you are. So Pam, thank you so much for joining us on Bench Talk today. I really appreciate your participation and the gems that you dropped with everything that you spoke about. Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC, and on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie, MITCH, CC. Thank you, guys.